Welcome to Short Time. It is Short Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Abneau, Dave Crossan with you. As we get going here on another show, Dave number 55 is 55 now cooking on the grill.
Is alive, yes. Wow.
It's been 55. A fun run, so that means it's... I feel like we should have marked it like a couple weeks ago, but we've officially been doing the show now for just over a year.
Yes, we have.
It's been a fun ride.
It's a great ride.
Guests,
a
great conversations, some laughs, you know, some great community conversation and stuff like that as well. And you know what? We got more in the cooker because, you know, as good as the original movie is, right? You got to make the sequel even better.
It's hard to
make
do,
a whole,
but I think
make
we've
a whole
done
movie
it.
Series
yes.
out of it, right?
Yeah, no, you're
I
right.
Mean, maybe we could be the Shore version of what the Fast and the Furious movies are. They got
How many of those movies are there?
They got number 10 coming out.
Okay,
I think it's in...
All right.
It's coming out soon. I'm like,
so
right.
Maybe we should make this a movie at some point,
yeah,
right?
There you go. Short time movie.
There you go. Short time movie. We'd love
or
that.
Go old school, right? The movie of the week.
There
will
it
be
is.
The short time of the week.
Without a doubt. But no, it's been a blast and a lot of fun. I'm, of course, enjoying your first hour with Shore Sports Talk. Fantastic.
It's been fun.
Well
some
done.
Good guests on there and got some more, you know, floaters out there in the cooker. So we're going to have some... Good guests coming on in the weeks to come as well. Bobby Skinner was on with me this morning.
Yes.
We've had on Short Time. We were talking about the Giants breaking down the season, the first year under Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
How they did in the playoffs, where they go now.
Playoffs?
In terms of... that'll never get old.
Yes, absolutely not.
What they do in the offseason in terms of free agent signings, draft picks. They're certainly in a lot better situation now. And then every other team, it's interesting. The like within 48 hours of the Eagles losing the Super Bowl last Sunday, both their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator are now coaching elsewhere.
There you go. That's typically what happens.
Offensive coordinator is now the head coach of the Colts. Defensive coordinator went to coach the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
So the Eagles are searching for new coordinators. Although Nick Sirianni was the Colts offensive coordinator, so there's a little bit of irony there.
Right.
So he's certainly got a brilliant offensive mind as well. I'll tell you, though, with that Super Bowl last week,
that was something.
Every opportunity to run away with that game. They had control of that game in the first half.
Yes, they did.
The Chiefs did not look great, and the Eagles looked like they were going to start to run away with it
a
little bit here.
Well, you know what it is? You bring up a great point. When you have an opportunity to jump on a team, a good team, and create a little distance, you do it. And there, to your point, a lot of opportunities were missed. You don't want to leave Mahomes too many opportunities. I mean, especially when he re-injured his leg, or I guess it would be the high ankle sprain, that looked like it was it. I mean, there were so many things that were heading toward Eagles all the way, but of course he rallied. They didn't create enough distance score-wise, and look at the second half. And, of course, everybody's going to talk about that last play, or I should say the holding penalty, which, if you look at it...
It was, yeah. And James Bradbury admitted it after the game. He said, I was hauled. I was hoping... Paraphrasing, he said he was hoping he would get away with it, that the refs would let it slide.
But considering, again...
It wasn't the most egregious of holds, but he
correct.
Still held them.
Two thoughts. You're right. The ball, though, was it a catchable ball? Let's say it was a clean break and he got to the end zone. Would he have caught that ball?
I think so.
You think so?
I think it's within the possibility.
Well,
I
don't know about that.
The Chiefs have good receivers that are capable of doing that.
I just think it was
Juju Smith-Schuster had a heck of a second half, and certainly he could have made any play. Marquez Valdez-Scantling had a sort of a low-key game, but it was really Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster for the Chiefs that lit it up in the second half. And with Mahomes quarterbacking, he leads his receivers, so he certainly makes it possible. And they got the skills of receiver to make those kind of jumps. Would he have definitely caught it? It's hard to tell, but I think he definitely would have been in there.
You know, think of it this way. That doesn't happen. They kick their field goal. It gives the Eagles an opportunity. I'm not saying the Eagles would have come down and scored a touchdown or a field goal. It's just that opportunity wasn't there. It's a tough way at the end of a game, being that it wasn't such an obvious, yes, he held him. I think at that point, you play ball. Again, it's easy for me to say it as I'm watching it from a television and not on the field, and it happens so quickly.
That's also easy enough to say, all right, well, if that wasn't called, maybe the Chiefs wouldn't have scored. Maybe they would have scored a touchdown. Maybe they still would have kicked the field goal and still won the game.
That's very true. Yeah, in other words, they could have stopped the Eagles from once they got
sort
the ball.
Sort of the fallacy, the predetermined outcome.
No, you're right. I guess my point is I would have loved the opportunity to see that play out the way you're describing. They get the ball. Let's say the Eagles don't advance or interception or fumble or miss the field goal. Anything could have happened. But putting that, you know, thought to the side, great game. Great game.
Yeah. Jerick McKinnon almost pulled an Ahmad Bradshaw there at the end. Where that was a designed play for him not to score a touchdown. The Eagles were just saying, hey, here you go, score.
That's right. That's true.
The last, Super Bowl, the Giants won. The Patriots are going to let him score. He's like, and the Giants
tried
like,
to
no,
stop,
no,
and
stop.
And he just kind of fell in. No, you're right.
Because it gives more time. And of course, in that game, the Patriots didn't come back anyway, but you don't want to give Tom Brady that amount of time. And you don't want to give the Eagles that amount of time. So it was good they kicked the field goal.
Right, then you
take
the risk.
I had no idea what they were doing. I was telling my dad we were watching the game last week. I'm like, all right, they're probably going to lateral here, Zeke. You sure? Yeah, because they were coming from their own 30. I was like, a Hail Mary from that part of the field doesn't work. Right. And Hurts, it's not saying that Hurts doesn't have a good arm. He does. But it's just hard to get any kind of accuracy at that point. And I feel like the lateral play would have been the better move for the Eagles have a better chance of scoring. Obviously, the field goal would have done them good, hypothetically, but not with that amount of time. The only way that they were going to do anything was to score a touchdown there. They only had 8 seconds and no timeouts. So I just didn't get it. When I saw it, and then Hurts didn't even come close to hitting anybody. No, like nobody was even there.
Right.
The Eagles blew it in the end. But you know what?
Great game.
Could have been a Super Bowl where Jalen Hurts could have been named the MVP in a loss. Which I was trying to rack my brain for how this is when it happened before. I feel like there was at least one Super Bowl a long time ago where the MVP was on the losing team. And that could have been
when
the case
was
here.
There was one that happened.
I have to check that. But it certainly could have been. I mean, Hurts had one heck of a game.
Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, for anybody who is doubting what Jalen Hurts can do in a big game, I think they're a little bit quiet now.
Yeah, no.
Because I've always thought Jalen Hurts is the real deal. Whether he's running, throwing the ball, leading the offense, he's going to be the Eagles quarterback for years and years to come.
Absolutely.
The Eagles have their man. That being said, the Eagles, I mean, are still going to be a stacked team next year.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I was talking to Bobby Skinner. He even thinks that they'll take the division again next year. It'll be a tussle between the Giants and Cowboys for number two.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's just kind of based on talent.
Yeah,
I mean, look what the Cowboys are losing.
So much, right? No, you're right.
We'll see what Washington ends up doing. I mean, it sounds like they're leaning towards going with Sam Howell as their quarterback.
Okay.
Just don't know if they have the kind of receivers that they need right now. They're going to be a good team. They had a nice run. It's always hard to say with Washington. Sometimes they go into it where they're like, you know what, they're going to be pretty good, and then they kind of disappoint or they're not going to be that great.
Well,
and
they
then
beat
they
the Eagles this year.
Play.
Am I right in saying that?
Well, yes.
Well, I'm just saying it's.
Are you thinking that or Cowboys?
No, didn't the Redskins beat the Eagles in the regular season? Am I wrong?
Philadelphia lost to Dallas on Christmas and the Saints.
They didn't lose to the.
Washington beat Dallas in that was it that Week 18 game?
Maybe that's what Dallas couldn't score a touchdown. I get you,
but
should be a good division
next year. I mean, I think it will be for a while. I think the NFC East has sort of restored order as a division to be reckoned with.
Oh yeah, it's so fun to see.
It's interesting. I mean, and I guess credit to the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought going in. And I've said it, I think I said on this show, or at least my the Shore Sports Talk Show, final probably around 38-35, and I think the Chiefs would win.
Yeah.
And I think it was based on the experience of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And I said that going in.
Well-coached game.
And that is what exactly happened in the second half. The experience of Andy Reid, one of the greatest coaches of all time, he's nearing a lot of significant win totals. He knew exactly what to do. And Steve Spagnuolo, a defensive coordinator, one of the best defensive coordinators in recent memory. He was on the DC for the Giants when they upset the Patriots undefeated team. So they've been there and done that. Andy Reid's a great play caller. Mahomes has been to, this is his third Super Bowl in the last 5 years. He's won now two of them, and they lost to the Bucs a couple years ago. But I think that experience, that knowing what to do in the big game, it really played a factor in the second half. And credit to Mahomes, too. It's hard to do
with the
anything
injury.
On a grade 2 high ankle sprain. Oh. But his recovery over time,
his ability to move like
and
that.
And the fact that he got hurt in the Super Bowl as well. You saw him going off the field like he was in a lot of pain. And then the second half,
ready to go.
Didn't matter. Like he's a baller. He's a gamer.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
He's a tough
dude.
Very
impressive.
So, but yeah, we'll see what happens in the offseason. A lot has to happen for, you know, our teams. Giants have some moves to make. They have more cap room. They have better, more cap to spend. Last year, they had to figure out a way to clear $40 billion.
Yes.
And then now they have, I think they have the second most amount of cap to the Ravens in terms of money to spend. And, you know, a good amount of draft picks as well. They got a draft pick from Kansas City this year, a couple of them from after trading Kadarius Toney. So they got some moves to make, and chief among them are figuring out what to do with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. Bobby was saying this morning that, you know, he would, you know, extend Daniel Jones because he's your quarterback and franchise tag Barkley unless you could agree on something short term. Because Jones, I think, could be a great quarterback. I don't think he's going to be an elite quarterback, but that's okay.
Right.
He's a quarterback who could run this offense really well.
He was very impressive this
year. And if you start giving him some receivers to throw to who could run deep routes, then he's going to take off. Barkley just turned 26. He has somewhat of an injury history. I think he should be with the Giants for years to come, but got some moves to make there, and they got to figure out wide receiver and linebacker desperately. Cowboys got some interesting moves to make as well.
Yes.
I mean, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones have said that they want Prescott around for years. I think Stephen Jones even said he's our quarterback for the next 10 years.
I heard that.
And if that's the case, then that's great. I think, you know, he is in that top 10 conversation and everything. And, you know, barring unless you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, you should probably keep Dak. But they got to figure out what to do with the running game. Is Tony Pollard going to be their lead back moving forward? Who else are they going to put at receiver other than CeeDee Lamb? They got a good tight end, Dalton Schultz. They got to figure out the offensive line. They got to figure out the running game and the defense. So the Cowboys have some interesting moves to make, Dave, this offseason.
I'm checking myself on something here.
Oh, boy.
And Washington did beat the Eagles November 14th, Monday. They did.
Oh, I forgot.
So it's the three losses.
That's right.
The
yeah, they did
loss,
have
three.
Yeah,
say.
I was thinking of the two against New Orleans and Dallas. I forgot about the one to Washington.
Yep.
Good on you, Dave.
To my point with Washington is, they have a tendency to win these games you don't expect them to win, but then the ones that it's like that kind
right.
of
they're not a bad
they
team. They're a good team. They're just don't have all the pieces to be a great team. And who knows? I mean, maybe they make a bunch of moves this offseason, but until they hit the field next fall,
you don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see. Well, you listen.
No, I mean Dallas isn't going to get worse. I don't know that they can have. Build or put together enough of the pieces to top Philadelphia.
I really thought they were going to make a move with Sean Payton, coaching wise. I was surprised that didn't somehow come together.
I always had a hunch
he's
going to be going to Denver.
Yeah, I guess.
But once they fired Kellen Moore and kept Mike McCarthy, then you knew that was going to be the staying point, which didn't make sense anyway because the Cowboys have had a top five, top 10 scoring offense with Kellen Moore calling the plays.
Yeah.
And then they said, you know what? We could do better.
Well, you know
we'll
what?
See.
You know what this all means then? On to baseball before you know it.
Yeah, pitchers and catchers getting ready to report. I know some players have been down there already. The New York Mets also bought a Super Bowl ad. So they desperately want people
there
to get season tickets.
Not afraid to open up the wallet, the Mets are.
I don't get
goodness.
Why, though. It didn't make sense to buy a Super Bowl ad because who outside the New York area would be buying season tickets for the Mets?
Maybe. I don't know. Just it's a branding thing. I don't know.
Maybe
don't
somebody
know. It was nice to see it.
Arizona's
it
like, oh, wow. I think
I'm
going to buy
Arizona,
tickets for the Mets.
And yes, let me make sure to get those Mets season tickets there.
I think it's
funny enough commercial. With the Mets. And, you know, look, they're going after it. They're doing what they can to make themselves
My concern with the Mets
better, much
is
better.
I appreciate what Steve Cohen and Billy Epler are doing to improve the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me thinks that this could be, you know, related to football, right? With the Los Angeles Rams, that they're just kind of spending money on free agents that they hope would work. Obviously, it didn't work out with Correa for a number of reasons. But they've been putting out a lot of money, but they have nothing to show for it. With the team the Mets are putting together, World Series is certainly possible. But they need to at least get to the NLCS this year, because they have that kind of team and they can't come up short again. They have an aging rotation.
Right.
So I think Cohen even admitted they don't have a long window with some of the guys on their pitching staff.
No, they don't. And think of it this way, and this is what bugs me with go back to 2015. If we would have spent good money, think about all of those pitchers were on rookie contracts. Think about it. Look who we had. We had, what was it, Harvey, we had DeGrom, Syndergaard, Mats on rookie contracts.
Really good pitchers.
My point, what if
and
we
the Mets should have won that World Series.
Yes, they should have. But if they would have spent more money, I mean, we got Cespedes, but again, it was
Cespedes showed up, is a headache and a half.
But my point with all this is we would have spent aggressively that year when we had these rookie pitchers that were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I don't like to look back, but I am looking
right.
back.
The Mets have the right manager in place. They have a lot of really good players on the team. You know, I thought last year that was going to be the year that they won the division. Atlanta's a really good team, and they're going to be loaded again this year.
Tough way to not.
Phillies went all the way to
up.
The NLCS. They've retooled a little bit, adding Trey Turner, and among some others. It's going to be a really tough division. Phillies, Mets, and Braves are going to duke it out to the end.
Well, I tell you what, let's go back to this year. And a mistake I thought the Phillies made, but obviously, what do I know, is when they got rid of Girardi. I thought that was a mistake. I always liked Girardi. I thought he was the right guy to manage the Phillies. And when they got rid of him in the beginning of the season, I didn't think that was a good move. But
Girardi is a smart baseball man. But he,
I just didn't think it
was
a good move.
The reason the Yankees let him go and the reason the Phillies let him go as well is because they're just. Has a sort of personality that doesn't always mesh with some of the players. Okay. And they just weren't, they
like
Phillies
hard,
players just weren't
like,
buying
like
into it.
Tough.
With
hard,
some
like
of the, how
school?
He his approach. Okay. And Rob Thompson, who's been in the game even longer than Girardi, just had a better approach for how to handle the Phillies, because the Phillies had high expectations. They were a loaded team in spring training.
Yeah.
And then the with how they started out.
Yeah. I understand why they did it. I just think it was a good move. I thought they could have gone, but look what they ended up doing. So
right.
They didn't give me a call, Vin. Phillies. They didn't.
Well,
it's okay.
You know,
it's okay.
I mean, that could happen.
It's okay.
You never know what managers get let go. And
there, I'm ready to go.
Just call Dave Crossan.
That's it. When I'm not at Shoreline, I can manage a club. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. We got a great show on deck. We're going to talk certainly about baseball in the weeks and months to come, because it's getting exciting, people. We've got a guest coming back to our show this morning, Regina Mullen of Manalapan. It has been just over a year now since she lost her son Kyle following Hell Week training out in San Diego with the Navy. And we've asked her to come on to share some updates in her quest for answers and everything. And she's going to be joining us next right here on 94.3 The Point on Short Time with Vin and Dave with Regina Mullen coming up right after this.
Hello, this is Chef David Burke on Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. And if you could see us, you'd know the three of us have perfect faces for radio.
Let's face it, investment concepts and financial planning can be very intimidating and confusing. Shoreline Wealth Management addresses that feeling head on. Their goal is to educate you while offering financial advice without buzzwords and jargon. Shoreline includes you in the process and makes you comfortable every step of the way on your path to financial freedom. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information today. Shoreline Wealth Management, with offices in Manchester and Manahawkin. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC.
Hi, this is Southside Johnny from the Asbury Jukes, and you are listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point, and I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back to Short Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Avenue, Dave Crossan with you here on Sunday morning on 94.3 The Point. And we've brought on another special guest, her second appearance on the show.
Yes.
You know,
glad to have her back.
We start giving out awards on the way out for people who've had multiple appearances. It is Regina Mullen of Manalapan, who suffered an unthinkable loss about a year ago now of her son, Kyle, 24-year-old Kyle Mullen, who just finished up Hell Week with the U.S. Navy SEALs out near San Diego and quickly passed away right after that. And we had Regina on the show back in July of last year here on Short Time to discuss kind of what was going on at that point, what happened then, what she knew at that point as well, and we had asked her to come back to for an update and to also continue to celebrate Kyle's life as well. So, Regina, before we discuss anything, we want to welcome you back onto the show here Sunday morning and in person as well.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here.
So I'm struggled to kind of come up with the words. So I came up with unthinkable. Certainly can't relate myself, and I know Dave's said that as well, to your loss, what you were feeling last year, and then certainly after it hit the 1 year mark of it all, just how difficult of a time has it been just this month, a year into you doing diligently into looking into answers and looking into what happened and why. Just what has this all been like for you lately?
I think as time goes on, it actually hurts worse, to be honest with you, because they were supposed to investigate the SEALs, investigate themselves. Then they were going to give me a briefing, and then it was canceled because they get a do-over. And I tell them my son doesn't get his life a do-over. So they get a do-over because their investigation was basically they were blaming him for his own death. They were speculating steroids which they planted in the media, which was very upsetting to me because I was getting horrific messages through Facebook Messenger calling me, you know, him a cheater and me a horrible mother. So that was horrible for the Navy.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had a line of duty investigation. Oh, because the big Navy now is taking over the investigation that the SEALs couldn't do themselves. Then I had a line of duty investigation, and, I asked for Congress to be there. Chris Smith was helping me. And at first they told the secretary, chief of staff, that it was their policy that Congress couldn't go. And then I said, ask for the writing of that policy. Sure enough, they didn't have a writing. They were lying to Congress. So they got to go, which I was glad that they were supportive of me, because during the line of duty investigation, obviously I saw a lot of discrepancies and questions of why they didn't save my son's life when they had plenty of opportunities. Their medical staff was there on site, and his oxygen was 84% at one point, and then another hour and a half later it was still only 86% with crackling lungs, which means there's fluid in his lungs, which the only way to detect pneumonia is by a chest x-ray, and anyone standing there should have gave him that opportunity to save his life, but they didn't. So now it still stands that the big Navy is still not completed it, or it's completed, I'm told, and it had to get signed off on two levels and then a third level, which they don't give me a date yet as to when I'm going to get the briefing on the command investigation. Supposedly, maybe people will get in trouble. I'm kind of losing faith with that because I was tipped off that the commander was getting a lateral move. They had this thing in the Navy called a selection board.
Okay.
Where they vote, basically, who gets promoted where. And instead of going through that board, they were going to kind of sidestep him and to some job in Washington, D.C., where then in 2 years he'd be able to become admiral. So even with Congress there, though, when I was getting that line of duty investigation, I was asking them if the admiral, before he retired the Thursday night, if he had, I called it an admiral mast with the Commander Geary, that's who was in charge of Bud's training, and they were denying it twice until I got really irate, and I said, you mean to me, Thursday night, 8 o'clock, he didn't go there with his lawyer, and then in front of Congress, oh, yeah, well, he did. You know, they were almost like lying, and that's why it came out in the news that two people got reprimanded, but it's not really a reprimand. It's called a letter of censure, and basically they wouldn't tell me what it said on the letter, and it's really just a letter in their file, which basically does nothing. That's not discipline in my eyes. So right now it stands, I'm not briefed on the investigation. Nobody's in trouble. I think they just kind of move them around within the Navy, and that's kind of where it stands right now. And I'm told that it's difficult to even sue the military because of a thing called Ferris Doctrine, which that's what people could do, is write to Congress or anyone in Congress throughout the country, is tell them that Congress needs to define incidents of service, because that's why these atrocities are happening all throughout the military, all branches, the stories that I've heard from women out there. It's really, really sickening. and the people who perpetrate the harm on the individuals that pass away or just get harmed or abuse of power, they don't get in trouble because they keep protecting them by the wording incidents of service. But the way my son died is not incidents of service. That's sheer medical neglect, and he should have been alive today.
What have recent conversations been like, I guess, if any, let's just say within the last couple months with anybody in the military, NCIS, the Navy? Have you gotten much information, if anything, out of?
No. Mm-mm. Nope. My liaison that I just wanted an updated form because it says pending death, their death certificate. It doesn't have the actual cause written on it. And that just... he had money in some like savings account. It's not a lot, but that's for me to get it. I mean, it's probably less than $1,000. They make next to zero for money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you mentioned Congressman Chris Smith before. Who, for those out there who don't know, represents a portion of Monmouth and Ocean counties down in Washington. What conversation? Not even the last couple weeks or whatever, but. What kinds of conversations have you had with Congressman Smith? What has he said that he would work on or look into?
Well, he wrote that bill. It's in Kyle's name for the medical care during training, basically for all military. And I didn't want to make it a political thing, left or right. But, I mean, Andy Kim did help me initially. He spoke to the Secretary of Navy asking, you know, what's going on with this. And he helped address it, and then Chris Smith really was my area at the time, and he definitely was, you know, spearheading it and following up with the Navy and really helping me immensely. And he heard actually from a man that was secured Hell Week with my son, who now finally is medically separated, but he was the only one of the 20 men that secured Hell Week with my son that basically stood up to the commander. And yeah, they tried to dishonorable discharge him and do really bad things towards him. But he is medically separated right now, or discharged. But they all have a lot of lifelong medical injuries from the training itself. Many of the men. It's terrible.
Yeah. With any number of this related situations.
But they say people will go, oh, well, he signed up for that. And that's not true because... you know, it's glorified in the movies and the books that the medical team's going to be there and they were supposed to have protocols. What happened is, under this command, the bar was raised of how long do you stay in the water? Because I have asked, how long is too long before you get hypothermia? How long is too long?
Sure.
How cold was the water? Do they know what the bacteria level is? And that's a whole nother area where the bacterial level is super high in that water out there because... some sewage plant from Mexico is deteriorated into the water, and it's known our government has given tons of money there. I don't know how many millions or whatever the amount is, and Chris Smith verified that I'm right with that. So even when I was getting my line of duty investigation, I said, well, what was the bacterial level of the water?
Sure.
I had pneumonia. I don't know if it's from that. And I get no. They said, oh, it's checked. Who checked it? What's the qualifications? What was the bacteria? They don't tell me an answer. I ask what's their training, the medical team? You know, they don't tell you that either. Where are they trained? Who are they? They don't tell you anything.
Wow.
It's terrible. The way it's run is so terrible. Nobody should join until there's protocols. And I want outside independent oversight, not just the big Navy, because that's still, I said, so you have the crime family investigate themselves. That doesn't go so well, so let's call in Cousin Vinny. That's the big Navy. Come on. It's not, they're not going to, let's see what happens, but I don't have faith in it.
So not just looking into to Kyle's death, but just for future to make sure that protocols are in place, that has some outside consultation, or I guess even from Congress with and credit to Congressman Chris Smith for doing all the work he has to this point. He's done great work.
Yeah.
So just looking into Kyle's death, but also making sure that there are protocols in place that are followed.
There's so many things going wrong. Like, they're cheating with the guys through. Like, you think that, oh, it's just about how good you are with those tests now. There's this thing called an O course that they have to go through, and they have to pass it twice out of three times. It's not even digital. There's someone standing there writing the scores. So basically, if you're an officer, you're favored, you know, an enlisted, which my son was, there's, you know, and if you're well-liked or if your father is a previous SEAL, you're getting pushed through. So it's not even an electronic eye like you run across, like a 5K run in any town.
Mm.
They're handwriting it in. Like even hit my son's pulse ox. I said, well, how is that documented? Should be on like an iPad technology today. You could write your name, the date,
right.
The stamp, the time.
Sure.
Nope. I said, what is it, handwritten in pencil? You could erase it and write the right number now? It's a joke.
Wow.
It's really embarrassing how it's, and it's funded a lot by Congress. So Congress has the ability to make sure there's no cheating going on and it's forthright. And like the 20 that secured Hell Week with my son, like I said, one stood up. One's a son of a very popular retired SEAL who has, you know, this podcast. So he's, he going to say anything? No. He can't.
And hopefully.
So I said if they all stood together, the strength in numbers, they could all, but they're all afraid. They're threatened not to say anything and told not to say anything.
Mm-hmm. So would you like to see Congress look into some of those protocols and make any changes to, I guess, for accountability, for procedure?
There needs to be set protocols, independent oversight, not independent meaning the big Navy. It needs to be independent outside the Navy of someone they, whatever, hire to look and make sure it's set. And they should know how long is too long. And if someone's spitting up blood, they're supposed to, how are you treating that? How are you treating VEED, which is viral gastroenteritis? What are the set protocols for it? I ask these questions, I get no answers.
Would you like to see some sort of, medical personnel, a doctor involved in the process with
protocols? There was a doctor there, but I don't know what kind of credentials that doctor has. And there's no nurses there, I believe. And I don't think they're using stethoscopes. Just last week, they weren't using a stethoscope, which can simply hear there's a problem with your lungs and they should send them to go get checked. Because when I went out there, the commander had the audacity to say to me, well, I heard your son was asked twice to go to medical and he didn't want to go. Well, I'm like, do you hear yourself? He hadn't slept in 5 days. Does he know what day of the week it is? And why? You can't diagnose yourself. You don't know that your lungs have fluid in it. You don't know what your oxygen level. You don't even know what that means. They're telling him, grind it out. Pain is not what you think it is, on one hand. Then they're telling him, do you want to go to medical? That's the medical team job. I'm sorry, that's not my son's job.
Yeah, to be able to recognize that in somebody.
Right.
Something doesn't look right here.
Because somebody may not say something because they don't want to be looked at a certain way, like they can't handle what's being asked.
Exactly, but they also, years past, someone would tell them, go get checked at medical. Now they were making them, either you ring the bell and quit, then you can go to medical, or you can try to continue on and you'll fail for performance. Mm.
Wow.
That's what they were doing. And they could say they weren't, but that's what they were doing.
So just protocols are just need to be
admitted. You know, I know that has to be hard. I'm not saying it doesn't have to be hard.
Right.
And they were supposed to get exposed to that tear gas. But there's a point where there's exposure and there's a point where it's torture. These men were absolutely tortured. You can't even treat a dog in training that way and leave him in a cage or the barracks to die without someone being in jail or in trouble. So it's a year later and no one's in trouble. That's disgusting.
Find a way to install the proper training to get them ready, but also be humane in the medical part of it to make sure that they're physically able to handle everything and that they're not ill.
The only thing I do hear that they put in place, which I'm shocked that it wasn't there, that there's 24-hour monitoring medically for the men. Because when my son secured at, let's say, 10 o'clock, I mean, I spoke to him 11 o'clock their time. It was 2 o'clock New Jersey time. He was in very bad condition. I heard it over the phone. But they sent the medical team home at noon. Mm. And there was no one on base. And a man did call. A 21-year-old called. I spoke to him.
Mm.
He called the Buds medical team. And they're told, and I think they signed something, that they can't go outside Buds medical because then they get dropped. Because they don't want the world to know the condition of the men. In a sense, I get that because they're used to the training. But in another sense, if you're going to let the team go, they have no choice to help themselves. But they were told if they call 911, he would get dropped.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And he chose not to be dropped. He thought he would lay down and get better. Well, he laid down, the blood in his lungs cut off his oxygen. And he died in front of a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old in the barracks. Oh, and the commander breached the barracks before NCIS got there. How convenient was that for him?
Regina, I want to continue this discussion, certainly this part of the conversation. I have to head to a quick break. Can you stay with us?
Sure.
More Short Time with Vin and Dave and Regina Mullen of Manalapan right after this.
Hi, this is Christy Pierce Rampone, former U.S. women's soccer team captain, Olympic gold medalist, World Cup champion, and Point Borough High School alum. And you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Tune in for some real conversation with Dave and Vin. You don't want to miss this.
Whether you're in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management understands that you are more than your money, and they strive to help you realize your best life as they align your finances with your goals. Best of all, Shoreline's straightforward approach will include you in the process. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, this is UFC championship fighter and Toms River High School East alumni Frankie Edgar, and you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Dave and Vin, these guys are the buzz.
Welcome back to Short Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Avenue, Dave Crossan with you. With us here this morning is Regina Mullen of Manalapan. But a year ago this time, her son Kyle, 24 years old, had just finished up Hell Week training and tragically passed away a short time later, and that's what we were getting into as we went to a quick break. Regina, and looking back and knowing everything you do now, everything you've learned through any number of channels, NCIS, the Navy, Congress, through your diligent efforts to try and track down as many answers as possible into what happened to Kyle and why, what have you learned of what happened to Kyle that day? Any conversations you had with him, and then certainly in the days, weeks, months, and now year that have followed into trying to put together the pieces into what was going on with Kyle at that point and who was or wasn't doing anything?
Well, the bar was raised, like I said, for the training. So he went through apparently different training than original SEALs did. But regardless of that, he got through it, and the main thing that killed him is the medical team missed their job. They didn't send him to get help. They knew he was compromised. They gave him oxygen. The medical team failed him. He would be alive here today if he was intubated like the other man was.
Yeah.
Had called 911. He would be here today because it was acute pneumonia that killed him. That's treatable.
And I know you're also a nurse and everything. So, I mean, in the condition that you surmise that he was in at the time with what he was going through, yeah, talking on the phone and what you learned. I mean, just what should have happened once blood was filling up or water in the lungs?
Once he secured Hell Week, when they supposedly checked him, they said his pulse ox was whatever, 98. That's nearly impossible. I don't believe them. They're liars. But if they would have checked with a stethoscope, they would have heard his lungs compromised. They should have. They knew. All the men put him first to get checked. They didn't check him. And if, really, quite frankly, all the men should be checked really extensively, whether it's urine analysis, blood work, and checking their chests because of what they've just been through.
Sure.
And had they been medically monitored, he'd be alive today. There's no question.
So should there be something at the before Hell Week even starts, some sort of round of medical tests that everybody should have to go through, check where you're at that point, and then do something on a daily basis at the end of the day or end of the week?
I guess they do certain to get into the Navy. And like he did have that enlarged heart, and everybody's asking me about, I mean, I don't want to make it about that, the vaccine, but he never had an enlarged heart. So was that caused by it? I don't know. That is a problem that needs to be looked at too, but I don't want to get into that. That
right.
Didn't kill
no,
him.
I understand.
He definitely died from pneumonia. And I guess think they're given a different antibiotic now. If the medical team is sending him to get further checked and then they either get medically rolled back, if they get three tries through, that's all they had to do is get him checked and get medically rolled back for a second time. You get three tries, you get three medical rollbacks before then you're dropped to the Navy. You owe the Navy time for just signing up.
through all the phone calls that you've made, the emails, the messages that you've mm-hmm. you've put out there. I know you mentioned in the last segment, Congressman Chris Smith has been a big help, and continues to be. What have you learned about what happened to Kyle, and what are some answers that are a little fuzzy that you've received or don't understand, or some answers that you are pursuing or have pursued but just haven't gotten a full answer or any clarity on yet?
Well, I know I want set protocols. I know I want to know what the treatment is for the diseases that they get, what happens when they don't follow the protocols. Some of the instructors that were instructing my son, one was already under investigation. Why was he instructing my son? I don't know. The commander, why was he still commanding when my son died? Any other profession, they're pulled from command until the investigation is complete. He shouldn't be promoted. He should be in big trouble. It's under his command. A man died unnecessarily. So that's not happening. I don't know why. There's this thing called the Ferris Doctrine. Unfortunately, I learned about it, where Congress must define incidents of service because it will hold people accountable. Where right now, if atrocities like this, medical negligence or certain things happen in the military, families can't sue the military. They could try, but most of them's denied because it says incidents of service. It dates back from the 1950s, a doctrine, but Supreme Court kicked it back to Congress to define the term incidents of service. It was for when you were in combat. Right now, this is non-combat training. This is not incidents of service. This is neglect that a man died. And it's unfortunately happening throughout all branches of the military. There is negligence, and not just medical, just a lot of different negligence and abuse, and they're getting away with it. And that's a problem. You can't get away with things like that because there's civil law and military law, and unfortunately they're not aligned enough where they need to be, have people get in trouble.
Have you had many conversations with other, I guess, moms, parents out there who've had sons or daughters in the military who've either passed away or who have become ill? And what are some of the things that you've learned from them that are either similar to what happened to Kyle or different? But
well, one recently, I mean, it's 2 years ago, and Stacey Beals in North Jersey, her son died in training for Marine training. Mm. And basically he didn't get water, and he was found hours later. I just don't know the particulars, but I know that happened. So that's an atrocity. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be considered incidents of service. There's another woman I spoke to. Her son ratted out somebody in the, I think it's the Army, where they were selling drugs, and then somehow that person got discharged but got back on base and cut the guy's neck off with a box cutter in the barracks.
Oh, wow.
There's another woman I'm friends with on – I spoke to her plenty of times. Her son hit his head doing something. It was in the Army. I think it was maybe the Marines. And he hit his head. He was getting headaches. He went to go get medically checked, and they sent him back, gave him, like, Tylenol. He went twice. They sent him back to the barracks. They didn't find him till days later. Ugh. They were spraying for breeze in the barracks. That poor woman, I mean, that's terrible. Days later. They don't even know the day that he died because they didn't find him 2 days later, and the medical team neglected him as well. My son was neglected, definitely, because he should have been treated for pneumonia. So those are the ones that come to the top of my head. That's disgusting enough. Yeah.
What were the conversations with Kyle like in during Hell Week? Anytime you were on the phone with him, did he express to you any concerns with what was going on, how he was feeling, if he had heard or seen anything that didn't look right or sound right?
Yeah, well, he loved all the guys. He liked it out there, but he did tell me that a lot of guys out there were doing the steroids, which they tried to blame on him because they found needles in his car, but he was sharing his car with other men. So my comment to that was, if I lend my car to someone and they smoke cigarettes and they leave their pack of cigarettes in the car, does that mean I smoke? No, that's ridiculous. Two toxicologies, full extensive, and they even tested his brain tissue. There was no steroids whatsoever. But they had the audacity to send those needles back to me.
Oh,
that's terrible. Wow. When they knew we didn't do it, and they sent them back to me. That's terrible. I had to open that. Mm-hmm. So they put that out there, that seed out there, and he was not a cheater, and he didn't do it.
Has NCIS or anybody been able to dive into those allegations and clear Kyle of any of that? Have you heard anything?
Well, that was when I was glad Chris Smith came with me to the line of duty investigation, because they were going to have a press release and it wasn't going to say anything about he didn't do steroids, had nothing to do with it. And I had to fight with them. And then Congress stepped in. Chris Smith said, it's proven fact by all the toxicology in the brain tissue that he didn't do. Why can't you put that in a statement out to the public?
Sure.
It took like 3 hours of really pressing the issue with them. And I didn't find out till like the middle of the night that they were going to add that, you know, wording in there, which is terrible.
Yeah.
Why would I have, I said, you already killed my son. Now, why can't you clear his name? Because they tarnished his character. And it took a fight, and Congress, Chris Smith helped me with that. I'm very grateful that
I'm glad they got put in there.
Oh, sure. Important.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Very important.
Yeah, Chris Smith is certainly fighting for and looking into a lot of different issues related to human rights domestically and abroad as well.
I mean, he was definitely instrumental in helping me, and I'm glad that he came with me, because I don't know if they would have just listened to me.
What would you like to see? Obviously, I know Chris Smith is continuing on this to help find some answers. But overall, what would you like to see Congress, with new leadership this year? What would you like to see Congress do in the handling of Kyle's death investigation, but also with looking into what's going on and what needs to be changed?
Well, the timeline of how long it takes is actually absurd. But we have to wait for them to get a chance to see what their command investigation says. I think, like I've been saying from day one, it needs independent oversight outside the Navy. And those protocols set, incidents of the service defined from Congress. Instructors can instruct if they're under investigation. They should be pulled. They should be reprimanded. Like I said, my son doesn't get a do-over for his life, and the SEALs already should be embarrassed with themselves. They can't investigate it, and they got a do-over for the big Navy now to come in and do it. And the steroid problem is supposedly a problem. A guy said it's out there, and it's a big money maker, and it's like having a mafia out there, and it's going to be hard for me to do anything about that. My son wasn't doing it, and that's a separate issue, but I don't know how they fix that.
Yes, certainly a lot that still has to be looked into.
The bacterial level
to find out what's going on.
The protocol, the cheating with everything needs to be digitized.
Sure.
I mean, it's ridiculous. You would think, elite of the Navy, funded billions of dollars from Congress, everything would be, dot your T's and, dot your I's and cross your T's. You would have it fine-tooth comb. It run like that. It's run like, I mean, it was terrible that I can't even believe it wasn't medically monitored and the medical team was sent home at noon when the men went through 5 days of no sleep, frigid weather, and barely eating and sleeping. I mean, how do you do that? You can't get refugees from the water and they're sent to the hospital medically treated,
Yeah.
The refugees coming across, they get probably put up in 5-star hotels and medical, checked.
But you bring up a valid point. Somebody going through that whole process your son did,
come on.
There should have been the attention for an extended period of time going through all that, any of the men.
Yeah, and they immediately are doing it now. But I had to scream and yell out there for them to even do that. I said they should all be put in the same room. They should all have medical beds where the head of the bed is up so you don't lay down. You're not choking on your own,
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's just how I had to scream and yell at them to get that done is a little ridiculous.
Regina, over the last year, what has it meant? Obviously, it's not just, the Manalapan community or Monmouth County, but New Jersey, and I'm sure others, as they've heard this story across the country. Yeah. What has it meant to get feedback or for people to reach out either in support or, seeing how they could help? What has this all meant to you and to your family, just with people reaching out, looking to help or looking to learn more about Kyle?
I got to know how much people really cared about him, and people try to tell me information through the, the internet and things like that. And unfortunately, I learned throughout the military all the atrocities going on, which I didn't want to learn about and I know about. I just know I miss him terribly. And so do many. He had so many friends between Yale and Monmouth College and my town and across all of New Jersey, and all the men that he affected that are really getting affected that have PTSD from it all and night terrors from what they witnessed, a good man, and they reach out to me. Yeah, it's kind of nice, too. I just wish he was here.
Sure, of course. It's a young man who made such an impact on so many different lives and communities, from an Alpin to Yale and to our country. You know, a true patriot and a hero who should be honorably remembered for all the time.
And we admire your strength, too, going through this and everything that you're trying to do and bring to light.
That's the only way for the public to know is for me to do something. And I say, if no one's in trouble, expect a march on Washington, because, you know, I see it forever, all little things in the out there. And this is a big one. It's a big problem. Someone should be in trouble. Big trouble. It should never happen again to not only my son, any other child going there.
Right.
Or across the military, the atrocities that are going on. It's a big problem. And people should really care.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And hopefully the truth comes out across everything that happened, not just with Kyle, but everything that's going on. And long term, that there are proper protocols put in place for medical and for training, that members of all branches of the military can be properly trained for domestic service or service abroad in combat and everything along those lines, but also that they are protected as well.
They should have the utmost medical support. If you're going through all that training, rigorous training, and those, you know, like the Marine training, there's Green Beret training, there's the SEAL training, they should have, it shouldn't even be an afterthought.
The top. I hear you.
I mean, it just really shouldn't. I don't even believe I'm sitting here having to say that it should have been there already. It's just insane.
Should have a strong military, but also protected military as well.
Our men are not protected right now.
Regina, as we close out here this morning, close out on, I guess, a reflection note, sort of a celebration of Kyle's life here. Just what were some of the fun things that he liked to do, some goofy things at home with his friends, you know, stuff that was just like, oh, that's just Kyle being Kyle.
He liked to dance. He liked to sing.
He said he could
do
a split.
He could do a split.
That's very nice.
That's impressive.
It is.
Very impressive, yeah. He liked to dance. He sang a lot. He was always happy. All the guys out there told me he was happy going through all the exercise. He liked competition. You couldn't walk in my door without playing darts or playing some game in the backyard, spike ball, make me play, and I was not good at it.
It takes practice.
basketball, soccer, in the pool. Like, he just was a very happy-go-lucky, fun-loving guy, and you can count on him. Anyone can call him up, and he was everybody's friend. I guess he made everybody feel like he was their best friend.
Sure.
Like, everyone said, oh, he was my best friend. Like, how many best friends do you have? I guess he made everybody feel that way. And he was the kind of guy that everybody in the military and Manalp and anyone has ever spoke to me just said he was their best friend, and you knew he can always count on him. He didn't complain. He just didn't complain. And he was possessed on being a Navy SEAL. He wanted to be on the elite team.
Yeah.
He really adored all those guys that he met through it. They were all like him. High achievers, educated athletes, just trying to do the right thing.
Sure.
Yeah. And you would think, you know, the support, medical support would have been there. And I don't know, someone would be in trouble right now.
Regina, hopefully, you know, over time you get the answers you certainly not only deserve, but need to have that clarity for yourself, but also that get the answers that are needed to make sure that, you know, the men and women in the military are prepared and ready to serve, but also physically, mentally, and emotionally protected.
Yes, they must be.
Thank you for coming in this morning and giving us an update. And yeah, definitely feel free to keep in touch. We'll have you back on again at some point in the future.
Thank you.
That is Regina Mullen of Manalapan. More Short Time with Vin and Dave right after this.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is comedian Big D. Bettero. You're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Who wants coffee? Anybody want coffee?
Let's face it, investment concepts and financial planning can be very intimidating and confusing. Shoreline Wealth Management addresses that feeling head on. Their goal is to educate you while offering financial advice without buzzwords and jargon. Shoreline includes you in the process and makes you comfortable every step of the way. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information and start your financial journey with comfort and security today. Shoreline Wealth Management with offices in Manchester and Manahawkin. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hi, this is high performance executive coach Dana Cavalia and former director of strength and conditioning for the New York Yankees. And you're listening to Shore Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. It's always great to hang with champions, and these two guys are champions.
Welcome back to Shore Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Avenue, Dave Crossan with you as we put a bow on another show here this morning, show number 55.
Wow, 55.
Sunday, February 19th. Halfway through February already, and still looking for snow. But
yeah, exactly. Haven't seen it yet.
Although I was talking with somebody during the week, and they're like, you know what? Last year we had that snowstorm in like the middle of March.
I'm
like,
it can happen. Yes.
Watch, that happens, right? No snow from through February or whatever, and then all of a sudden in March we get a couple big ones.
Oh, yeah.
We had a good show today.
Great show.
You know, just having a conversation. Certainly we had some fun at the beginning of the show talking about football and baseball and everything. And then a serious, important, emotional conversation with Regina Mullen of Manalapan, whose son Kyle passed away following Hell Week training last year. And in that time, Regina, with Mom Strength, has been on a quest to find answers about what happened to Kyle and hold those responsible accountable, and certainly is making a push as well, along with Congressman Chris Smith and others, to, you know, put into play some real changes with training practices within not just the Navy, but across the military as well, that the men and women in the military are trained for combat, trained for battle, trained for whatever their service requires, but also to make sure that they're physically and mentally healthy enough to handle the things and, you know, over time. So there's a, you know, quest for answers and research and, you know, hopefully the right answers to help protect all our military men and women for years and years to come, who are protecting our freedoms at home and abroad. I wanted to have Regina back, Dave, to just kind of give us an update on kind of where things are at. We had her here over the summer.
Right.
She's found out a few more answers over time, but still looking for some more, and she's really hoping to get that full report on what happened to her son, Kyle.
Well, I think she brought to light a lot of things that, you know, I wasn't aware, you weren't aware, how things are handled. And to your point, she wants answers, and she deserves answers. And with everything that she's looking into, that is being looked into with the procedures and how the men and women are treated in the sense of medically, you know, especially going through Hell Week and everything that was done there, that, you know, there should have been better things in place to monitor these individuals on, you know, the impact of going through all of that and to make sure that they're okay. And it sounded like from what went on, those steps weren't in place. And hopefully with everything that they're looking into, that there's some recognition that there are other things that need to be done going forward to protect these individuals.
Yeah, and hopefully prevent any even related incident from happening in the future. No, I mean, nobody should be coming this ill or injured or God forbid, dying while even in active training during Hell Week or any other kind of training. You know, these men and women are important to, you know, to so many things in protecting our freedoms as Americans at home and abroad. And hopefully we all get the right answers moving forward. And certainly, you know, can't relate. But I guess if I were in Regina's shoes, I'd be looking for answers too.
It's understandable. And I'm glad she came on. She's so brave. She's so strong. And she deserves to get that clarity.
Another great show coming up next Sunday, and we'll continue to help get the word out about Regina Mullen and her quest for answers as well, and how you can help. Another great show on deck for next Sunday as well. We're going to have another important conversation for you. Don't want to give too much away just yet, but stay tuned on our Facebook page and social media channels, 94.3 The Point. We'll get it out there. You just got to look out for it, because it'll be right there for you to see and share. Don't forget to share. Like, comment, and share. Call to action, people. Enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy your week ahead. Dave, have a good one.
You too, and thank you for all the listeners, as always.
More Short Time with Vin and Dave a week from now, 7 to 8 a.m. every Sunday morning. And that follows Short Sports Talk from 6 to 7 a.m. We got good things going on every Sunday from 6 to 8 a.m. right here on 94.3 The Point. We'll talk to you soon.
Hi, this is Christy Pierce-Rampone, former U.S. women's soccer team captain, Olympic gold medalist, World Cup champion, and Point Borough High School alum. And you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Tune in for some real conversation with Dave and Vin. You don't want to miss this.
Hey, this is UFC championship fighter and Toms River High School East alumni Frankie Edgar, and you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Dave and Vin, these guys are the buzz.
Whether you're in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management understands that you are more than your money, and they strive to help you realize your best life as they align your finances with your goals. Best of all, Shoreline's straightforward approach will include you in the process. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.